They know what they heard the Bible says, and some know what they think the Bible says. A lot of folks don't know what the Bible says, and it causes a lot of trouble. It causes a lot of trouble with them and the people that they're really trying to help, I guess. But Jude is a warning letter right before the book of Revelation, really. And I just want to read you, if you will. You got Jude?
Yes.
All right. Now, turn to Numbers, the book of Numbers. Old Jude now. Numbers 16. I'm going to tell you, because it's mentioned in Jude, so I want to explain to you what he's talking about. A lot of folks will read the New Testament, and it will refer to something in the Old Testament. They won't take the trouble to look it up. And so I want to help you, okay? It's not my job, Preacher Moore used to say, it's not my job to get you. It's not my job to keep you. It's my job to help you. And if I don't help you, then I'm failed. And I never do pray to get people. I just pray to help people. And when I go hear a preacher, I pray he'll help me. You know, that's what I want. I like it when they help me. It doesn't make me mad. Amen? And I've had them straighten me out. Amen? Most preaching now, most Bible teaching is in generalities. It's generalities. And they hardly ever touch the deeper things of God. And they hardly ever go into detail on what they do teach. It's a 15-minute in and out, fast food. And we're going to tickle your ear and give you a good time and let you go home. But there's some serious things in the Bible. I'm talking about serious. Now, this is a different crowd than a lot, you know, on Sunday morning. And I think I can be a little more serious in some of these things, and you'll understand what I'm saying. There's a lot of serious things in the Bible. And most people just don't take them seriously. And so in Jude, God gives them a warning. Look at Jude, the only chapter in Jude. Look at verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example. Boy, you read that on television, they burn the building. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Isn't that what we're living in now? Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beast, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about the local church and the will of God, and how dangerous it can be if not done rightly. It can be. Amen. Amen. In Numbers chapter 16... we get that example, the rebellion of Korah. But you know, Jude's writing to folks warning them of spiritual discouragement because of spiritual rebels. There are spiritual rebels. Now, Brother Fortson brags on being a redneck southern rebel.
Amen.
Which I don't know if that's a classification in dictionary for that, but that's what he claims to be. But he doesn't mean this kind of rebel. Now, to rebel against man is one thing. To rebel against God is another thing. Amen. Now, he's writing to them, and he's trying to show them that just because of these spiritual rebels, they shouldn't be discouraged. And there's false teachers, and they were leading revolt against the organization of the church and Christ's body here on earth. This is his body. The local church is not a social club. It's not a civil organization. It cannot be government affiliated. I had a lady fuss at me one time, something about taking one of her kids on an activity, and she got mad at me. The kid was too bad to take. And I told her. I said, she said, "You got to do this." I said, "Ma'am, we don't got to do nothing. This is not a government organization. We don't even have to pick your kid up if we don't want to." I said, "We do this because we love these children. And if yours is untamable, he's just going to ruin it for everybody else." And boy, you're talking about getting mad. But this is not a social club where you can decide what you do, come and go as you please, and make your own decisions. This is the body of Christ represented on planet Earth. This is a holy organization. We can't even pick and choose our own leaders. God does that. God does that. And most time, the leaders he picks, just as he says, are the people that nobody else would pick, and they wouldn't ask for it to start with, so he can get the glory for it. Not many proud are called, not many great are called. God chooses the off-scour and the earth to lead his body most of the time. People who used to be, and now they're children of God. Now, it's the body of Christ where we have the privilege. We've got the privilege to attend and to serve and to love each other and love God through this local body right here. And by the way, there is no national body. All churches are local churches. There's no place in the New Testament where you'll find there's a headquarters to the churches. No. I remember I was in Sunday school when I first got saved, and they were teaching on the church and Jerusalem, and they were saying the headquarters of the church at Jerusalem. Well, that's not true. That's not true. Never has been said in the Bible. And some people say the headquarters is in Rome. Why would it be in Rome? That's where they killed Christians. That's where the apostate Christianity came from. That's where the Antichrist sits on the throne over there. And why would you say that that's the head of the church? That's headquarters. That's not it. And far as Baptists, it's not in Nashville. If all the places I'd have to pick headquarters, it sure certainly wouldn't be Nashville. But we got to remember that God established a local church on earth to win the lost, make disciples, and edify the saints. That's what it's for. And I know some people, I can knock off my own glasses. I know some people get upset at me sometimes because I don't say more about politics, but I got news for you. That's not our job. Our job is to preach the gospel, see the lost saved, and edify the saints. It is not to mess with politics. You know, there's some good Christians don't always agree with you on politics. And they may be wrong, but they got a right to be wrong because church has nothing to do with those politics. You say, "Well, we got these perverted, crooked politicians now who are not Christians." Then don't vote for them. Then don't vote. But this church ain't going to get out there and carry a banner. We're not going to do that. And so the local church is put here by God for the winning of the lost, making disciples, and edifying the saints. Now, we don't have any say-so. You know, we can't have a meeting and change that. You know, we can't vote on that. Y'all still with me? So, did you know all ministries on planet Earth are supposed to be under a local church? Yeah. CBN. They don't have a church. That light, greater light thing up there in Indian land, they're not under a local church. The old PTL wasn't under a local church. They start these ministries, and then they start churches to go with them. It's supposed to be the other way around. Yep. Amen. Right. Amen. God established a local church. Listen to this. To teach otherwise is just plain old rebellion. That's all it is. Now, I don't know why people don't want to go to the local church. I don't know why they don't want to belong to the local church. I don't know why they don't want to honor the local church. I don't know why they don't want to participate in the local church, other than they just don't want to be under any rules or any regulations or any doctrinal fundamental teaching. They just want to do their own thing and have their own thing and do it their way. Well, that's not a New Testament church. Now, as New Testament churches, we may differ on particulars, but we don't differ on the fundamentals. You started singing that song. That hymn book, most of the hymns in this hymn book were written, well, all hymn books were written hundreds of years ago. And some were written by Methodists, and some were written by Presbyterians, and some Baptists, and some even Episcopal and Lutherans wrote some of those old hymns. But they're still good. You know why? Because back then, all of them believed in the authority of the local church, the word, infallibility of the scriptures, and the word of God, and in the fundamentals of the faith, they all agreed. So you could stand up and read their song and not be afraid of it. And Jude reminds them of what happened to the church in the wilderness. That's what Jesus called it. And a lot of people say, well, there was no church before the book of Acts. I beg your pardon. Jesus called it the church in the wilderness. And it was believers looking for a coming Savior. Amen. And God organized it. And by the way, it was organized a whole lot like the local church is.
Amen. Yes.
Now, look, if you will, to Numbers chapter 16, a particular story that goes along with this kind of teaching. Look at verse 1 in Numbers chapter 16. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, and the son of Eliab, and the son of Pereth, the sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Now you notice that? They didn't go out and get the guy to clean the bathroom. See that? In verse 3, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them. And the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Stop right there. The last I remember from Genesis, listen, Genesis and Exodus, these people didn't lift themselves up. God lifted them up.
Right.
I remember Moses had an argument with God and said, God, I can't do that. I stutter. I can't talk plain. So he gave him Abram, his brother, as his mouthpiece. Y'all remember that? They taught that in the Methodist church, didn't they? Amen. They taught that in the Episcopal church. They taught that anywhere the Bible was taught. And God picks men that will astound everybody else. If you go back to the other verse, God didn't pick princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, or men of renown. Watch out who you criticize that God calls. I'm not talking about me. I don't care. I've been in this so long. I've been called everything but the child of God and accused of everything that's ever been done and been guilty of some. But let me tell you something. You better watch out. Some little old guy stands up on there, and I tell his story all the time. Brother Larry at Blessed Oak Baptist Church in York, every time we had testimony service, Brother Larry, working on the trash truck, wore his clean trash man uniform. That's back when they had uniforms, and picked up 55-gallon drums. He had arms as hard as that pulpit. But he was mentally challenged. He was slow, couldn't read or write, couldn't talk plain. But every time he got the opportunity to say something, a testimony service, he'd say the same thing every time. Preacher, 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 with his not good speech. He would say, preacher, I just want to say I love you and I love Jesus. And he'd sit down. Now, I'm sure some people said he works on a trash truck. But God got more glory out of that man than he did the good-looking, well-dressed men in that church. Because they didn't stand up and say a stinking thing.
Come on,
Mr. Montgomery, kind of slow, in body and speech and thinking. He walked all up and down the city streets of York every day, giving out gospel tracts and witnessing to the best of his ability in York. And everybody in York knew Mr. Montgomery. Everybody did. And loved him. But I'm sure there's some people that say, boy, I wish he wouldn't tell them that he was from our church. Yeah. Yeah, you better watch out. That's not, God doesn't choose. Those are the men God chooses, and women, by the way. Amen. Now, Moses argued with God. And here's these people accusing Moses, saying, you took too much on yourself. Well, he didn't take anything on himself. God put it on him. He didn't even like it. Amen. He didn't want to do it, but God put it on him. Amen. And so, you better be careful. Now, look at verse 4. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. When Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. It broke his heart. And he spake unto Korah and to all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow, and it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. Now you listen. These men were already in the priesthood. They were already, but their job wasn't speaking. Their job wasn't leading. Their job was taking the tabernacle apart and putting it in special order every time they had to move. And when that cloud would move, that pillar of cloud by day or that pillar of fire by night, that was God's presence. And when that thing started moving, their orders was to take that thing down as quick as they could. And those golden rods went one place, and the golden rings went somewhere else, and the curtains went somewhere else, and the badger skin went somewhere else, and the offering table went somewhere else, and the candlesticks went somewhere else, and the showbread went somewhere else, and that altar of incense went somewhere else, and that holy of holies was taken apart, and piece by piece, every bit of it had to go in a certain order and had to be carried a certain way, or they'd die. Right. I thought that's pretty important, didn't you? Amen. But no, they didn't think that was good enough. So they decided they had to get rid of Moses and take his place. Well, he told them, I'll tell you what, we'll just have a test. We'll have a test. And Moses told him, God will show us who's real. Yes. Now, y'all listen to me. Y'all listen to me. In the local church, all kind of people come and go. It's going to happen. I've been at this since 1982. People's going to come. They're going to go. Don't worry about what they say about you or your church. Because in the end, God knows. Hey, God will show who's right. God will show who's real. Don't you ever worry about that. Don't you fight for yourself. You ain't got to fight. You let the Lord do the fighting. Yes. And by the way, that whole camp already knew about this bunch. It ain't like they just jumped up and people started following them. Everybody knew what they were. And let's go again. Look at verse 8 again. In verse 8, Moses said unto Korah, here I pray you, sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you, that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and stand before the congregation and minister unto them? He said, you're not satisfied with what God gave you to do? You think that's a little thing that God gave you to do? Y'all, listen here, I don't care if you clean the bathroom in the house of God. That's a big thing to God. Amen. By the way, we ought to have more people signing the cleanup list. I don't care if you usher. I don't care if you don't do anything but occupy space in the house of God. If that's what God gave you to do, then do it with all your might. You can say amen every once in a while, even when the preacher stutters. Give him a little encouragement. Amen. Say amen right there. You can sing when the song leader gives you a song you don't know what it is. You can stumble through it anyway. Amen. Amen. You think it's a small thing that God put you in the body of Christ? You think that's a small thing? You think you got to be at the top of the heap? You wouldn't want it if you had it. You'd quit. You wouldn't believe how many young little whippersnappers I've seen come and go. They thought they were supposed to be at the top of the heap, and now they're down at the bottom. Amen. Now look at it again. Look at verse 10. And he hath brought thee near to him, and thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. He's already showed you mercy and brought you near to him, gave you something to do. Now you think you're supposed to be in charge too? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. See, he didn't say me. Against the Lord. And what is Abram that you murmur against him? Hey, Abram's my brother. That's why you're murmuring against him. See? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. It is a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of, is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us. Talking about misquoting scripture and telling lies. I said, we're not coming up there to talk to you. You brought us out of the land of milk and honey to kill us so you could be in charge. Wait a minute. I thought God told them that the promised land was the land of milk and honey. I thought when they got to Kadesh and they sent spies over, they came back and said the place is milk and honey. And now they turn it around and say Egypt was the place of milk and honey. Boy. Look at verse 14. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards, which thou put out the eye, wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. In other words, they're saying, you promised us some stuff, you ain't give us nothing. What you gonna do, poke our eyes out so we can't see it? Now look at verse 15. And Moses was very wroth. Said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. You know what he said? He said, look, these people are just ungrateful, that's all. Rather than appreciating the position God gave to them, they criticized the one that God gave the position. Now I'm not talking, we're not talking about pastors having all this great position, but I'm telling you, this applies with local church, this applies with mothers and fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers and people in the local church, whatever they do. I don't tell him how to play the piano. He don't tell me how to preach. We'd both fail if we did. Amen. I asked him to pick the songs, and he acts like I put a big old burden on him. Pick the songs. What are we going to sing? I said, I don't know. You're a song leader. What I know? Amen. But the local church is what God chose, just like he chose the church in the wilderness. Now, a lot of people don't appreciate what God put them in. Y'all still with me? God, they just don't appreciate. You ever heard that old saying, don't appreciate what you got until it's gone? Or you got what you wanted, but you didn't get what you needed. You ever heard that? Now, the problem with that is ungratefulness. You know, I thank God. God saved me and put me in a local New Testament church. I've always been thankful for that. And I'm just a nobody, just like the rest of us. We're just a bunch of nobodies trusting somebody. His name's Jesus. But see, I appreciate he put me in that church. He put me in every church I've ever been in.
Yes, sir.
I had somebody tell me one time, said, Ron, you think every church you go to is the best in town? I said, yeah. God put me there. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God put me there. And by the way, I know a bad one when I see one. I've been in some. Now, look at verse verse 12, it says it. Look at it again. He says, and Moses sent and called Dathan and Abiram and the sons of Eliab, and they said, we will not come up. Now, you notice they didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want to talk about it. You ever notice how when people falsely accuse you or they say something about you, they don't want to talk to you about it. They want to talk to everybody else about it. You ever notice that? And Sister Mary, if they ever come to you to talk to you about somebody else, the first thing you'll do is say, let's go over and talk to her. It's strange how people, they accuse Moses. They had a great meeting. 250 people. They had a great meeting. Let's hang Moses. Let's kill Moses. He done took too much on. Who does he think he is? But they wouldn't talk to him. By the way, Facebook is no place to post your disgruntledness with pastors or churches. Amen. Amen. If you put a cuss word in there, I know you're a hypocrite. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching, preacher. You go right ahead. They wouldn't talk to him. Ain't it funny how they'll criticize your Sunday school teacher, but they never talk to the Sunday school teacher about it? Or the choir director, but they never talked to the choir director about it. Or Billy, because he can't remember which song he's supposed to sing, but they never talked to him about it. Or Holroyd, because he picks a Methodist song with a bunch of backwoods Baptists, but they never talked to him about it. Ron, ain't funny how they'll criticize how you do the nursing home, but they'll never come talk to you because they ain't going to do it. They didn't appreciate what they had. They wouldn't come talk to him. I wonder why they wouldn't talk to him. Could it be because they were building a following of their own?
Yes.
Watch out when they get mad at church and they invite you over to their house to talk about it.
Amen. Yeah.
They're not trying to fix their church. They're trying to start another church. Y'all get quiet now. This is the good crowd. I'd hate to preach this on Sunday morning. Every once in a while I'll run up on a rant about our church, and I'll send them a private message and I'll say, this is nowhere to talk about this. You need to come to me or somebody in the church and we need to talk.
Amen.
You're hurting more people than you're helping. Amen. But maybe their goal is not about helping people. Maybe their goal is about gathering a following to start their own church. I moved a man. We helped move a man all the way from Florida teaching our Bible Institute. And Blenda started texting me one night about where she going to go to Bible Institute at. And she said, he's saying all this terrible stuff about you. And next thing I know, he's took six or eight people with him, you know. And they're going to start it somewhere else. It lasted two meetings. And then he gave everybody a degree to try to make them think that he was a such wonderful person. And now he's pastoring a church with three people, four people, five people on Sunday. That wasn't about straightening anything out. That was about getting a following.
Right.
I'd be the first to admit that most pastors are not qualified, including myself. Now, I'm not talking about the biblical qualifications of your family and your wife, things like that. I'm talking about intelligence, leadership, things like that. We're usually not the smartest one in the building.
Amen.
You wasn't supposed to say amen. You're on Facebook Live. You should have said, oh, preacher. And there's a little bit of it going on over here, too. But we're not. We're not. We're usually not the most worldly wise. We're usually not the best with money. I'm telling you the truth. That's why God sends people to help in the local church. It's not all about the pastor. But if you get mad at the pastor and run him off, you're going to have a hard time finding another one because God didn't run the other one off. They didn't want to talk to him. They want to talk to each other. And by the way, next time they invite you over, say, I'm calling Sister Terry and Brother Ron. They're going to come too. They'll break that meeting up. Not that I'm anybody, but they just don't want to talk to the people they're talking about.
Yeah. Come on now. Yeah.
Now we're all we're all fallen creatures.
That's right.
Amen. We're just saved by the grace of God. There's nobody any greater than anybody else in the body of Christ. There's just different callings, that's all. You wouldn't want me to keep the books of this church. We'd be broke next week. I don't know. I led the singing for years and hated every minute of it. I'm serious. I dreaded coming to church knowing I was going to have to lead the singing. I don't know how to sing. I don't know how to read music. I don't know. All I know is what I hear and it sticks there. That's all I know. And sometimes it was good and sometimes it wasn't so good. Look, watch out for people that's trying to gather a following out of your church. Now, it's your church. You can vote me out tomorrow. That's up to you. I mean, next Sunday or Wednesday, y'all can vote me out. That's up to you. But watch out for people that organize a rebellion in your church. That's the Lord calling. He's trying to say amen. Put him on the put him on the microphone back there. He'll say, "That's right, preacher, preach it." Amen. Amen. I'd advise y'all to turn your phone off before you come in here. The Lord hadn't talked that boy in a long time. Amen. Amen. Y'all made me lose my place, I tell you. Look at verse 28. Let's skip some. I don't have time to do all this. Let's look at verse 28. Moses said, "Hereby you shall know that the Lord sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own hand, my own mind." He said, "I didn't dream this stuff up. The Lord did this. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them," that means their whole family, "and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." He didn't say provoke Moses. "And it came to pass after he'd made the end of speaking all these words that the ground clave asunder." You see that? That was under them. "And the Lord opened her mouth," earth opened her mouth, "and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that are appertained unto Korah," that's his family, "and all their goods. And they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit." They went to hell alive, y'all. "And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, 'Lest the earth swallow us up also.' And they came, and there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, 'Speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord. Therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel." Now, Moses told him, said, "All right, we're going to have a contest. You guys bring out your censers, and we'll get the men that's really appointed to do these jobs to bring theirs, and we'll have a service right here in front of the tabernacle, and we'll see who God approves of." Amen. Now, Moses wasn't even in it. And we'll see who God... And they brought out the censers, and as they were saying their prayers with the censers, God opened the earth and swallowed Korah and all his kinfolks and all his household, and then he burned up with a fire the other 250 men. Now that certainly showed who was real. Amen. And I tell you, look, a lot of local churches have been destroyed by Korahs. Amen. They don't want to do things decently and in order. They don't want to do things according to the Bible. We got a new plan. We got a new way. We've talked to these people that know how to do promotions. We got these new bands coming in. They're going to jack it up. And boy, our deacon board, man, they on fire. They're going to start giving out coffee and sandwiches on Wednesday night and Sunday morning. We're going to serve breakfast. And by the way, we got to get some black lights and some flashing colored lights. We got to get bigger speakers, and we got to hire a band, and we got to hire a song leader, and we got to hire some musicians. By the way, most of those people are not even saved. They don't even join the church. And boy, God's going to come down. Well, if God really came down, He'd kill them all.
Amen.
He'd kill them all. And then they make fun of little old-fashioned churches like ours. They call us ignorant, dinosaurs, old-fashioned, all that stuff. Amen? But what would happen if God really brought a test on every church in this town tonight? What would really happen? Most deacon boards are nothing but businessmen that would be put in those places because they know how to make money. They know nothing about the Bible. They're not apt to teach. They couldn't teach you a stinking thing that come out of the Bible. They're there because they were handsome and they were successful. And by the way, they're the ones pulling the string. They tell the pastor what he can do and he can't do. I thank God we've had some good ones here. Servants. Serve. They help the pastor serve. But you know, we have to be careful. This is the body of Christ. We got to be careful. And we all make stupid mistakes. But I think God sees the difference between a mistake and rebellion. I know God makes a difference between failure and a fault. We got something going here. Wouldn't you say that? We've never had anybody go out that door and say, I didn't feel God today. I've never had anybody go out that door and say, this church is dead, it's 4 o'clock. I don't know why we say 4 o'clock, but we say that. We've never had anybody go out that door and say, I ain't never coming back, it's too lively here. But it ain't us, it's God. And it's only because we try to do it His way.
Amen.
Now His way, we may not always approve of His way. Sometimes people say, well, preacher, you're too dogmatic about women singing in the choir and how they dress. You're too dogmatic about how the Sunday school teachers ought to dress. You're too dogmatic about these men and how they ought to. Well, if you want to go to a football game, go to a football game. But when people come to church, they're looking for church. We got to be careful.
Yes.
How many churches have we known that's come and gone because a bunch of rebels raised up?
Yes.
I'm just pastor. I'm the under shepherd. I never jump up and say, "Bless God, this is what we're going to do." You ever heard me do that? I know a lot of pastors wouldn't wait past $78,000 to go get a loan. We probably all together with the bank was in the bank, we might could rake up $100,000. I don't know. But I'll tell you this, I'll never jump up and say we're going to build today or I quit. That ain't what a pastor is. A pastor is an under-shepherd. Deacons are servants. Your pastor is a servant. You ought not jump up in front of your Sunday school teacher and say, you're wrong. You don't know how to do that, you know. Decently and in order, we do things in love and compassion because, look, we ought to fear what God's doing here.
Yes. Amen.
And what He might stop doing here.
Yes.
The average young person nowadays in church knows nothing about church. They know about having fun. They pay people to have fun. They know about music. They know about the latest praise band. By the way, rock music does not go with Christian music. You can't have rock Christian or Christian rock. That's like having Christian liquor or Christian prostitution or Christian lying. They just don't go together. But the average young person in this town knows nothing about church and the order of the church and the way things ought to be done at church, and they think it's a free-for-all. And those are the people taking over our churches when we die. Our job is to win the lost, make disciples out of them, and edify the saints, comfort the dying, serve the sick, to love one another, and let God tell you what your position is in the body, and you go at it.
Yes.
But don't disagree what his is and have a meeting against him or him. And they happen, by the way, don't. Well, if they have, I didn't know nothing about it. If you just do what God called you to do, you'd be so busy you wouldn't have time to be watching everybody else. Sunday nights were a little bit more laid back. And I believe Sunday nights, people that come back are usually more mature believers. And on Sunday morning, I try to reach the lost. But this Sunday morning, and a lot of Sunday mornings, I've had to preach to the church because half of them won't show up.
Amen.
And then they get mad at me. And then they lay out of church. I send them a card, give them a call, or speak to them about it when they come, and they get mad at me. I thought that was my job. If I come see you and you're sick, don't get mad at me. That's what you pay me for, so I can't. but you know what? One of these days, if I ever lay out of church, which I don't, thank God.
Amen.
If I ever lay out of church and I come back next week, I want you to just, preacher, you ain't supposed to be out of church. What are you doing out of church? Me and my wife, y'all gave us money to take some kind of little trip. Y'all voted to do that. I don't even know how much we can spend. My wife don't either, so we're figuring Hawaii's a good one.
Yeah.
But we'll be frugal. We'll be frugal while we're there. We'll take coach. We won't take first class. But we hadn't took it. Do you know why we hadn't took it? We're not going to be out of church. So we try to arrange it on Monday or Tuesday and be back Wednesday. Now, I know we might could slip off on Wednesday and two-thirds of the church wouldn't know it, but we just feel bad about not being here Wednesday. Certainly on Sunday we want to be here. But we love the church. And you ought to love the church. And when God gives you something to do, you'll do it with all your might or don't do it at all.
That's right.
And quit pointing out other people, their failures, if you ain't doing anything. These guys wasn't doing anything. They wasn't even doing their job right. The local New Testament church is the body of Jesus Christ represented on planet Earth.
Amen.
And it is important. And to go against it, you know what I've always done? I've said this over and over. If I get to a point where I didn't agree with my pastor, I ain't argued with nobody. I just slipped away. Every church that I ever helped in, I've helped in three or four, and I tell the pastor because I was a young preacher, and I know how people think about other preachers coming to their church. And I'd say, Pastor, I'll just tell you, if I ever differ with you enough doctrinally, I'm not going to worry about you little particulars, but if I differ with you enough doctrinally, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to try to lead a revolt. I'm just going to slip out because God gave you this church. And I'm afraid he'd kill me if I did any other way. So I just slip out. I don't want to be a Cora. I want to be, yet though he slay me, I'll trust him. Now, we got a great thing going. I told you tonight I wanted church members here, and you can see some of them didn't even care enough to show up because I wanted to preach this, and I wanted to be honest and personal with you.
Amen.
Now, there may come a day where I get too old. You have to vote me out. You say, well, he's done got too old to cut the mustard. I really don't even know what cut the mustard means. I might have been cussing. Billy, was I cussing? You know all about that. Okay. I may get too old to cut the mustard, and y'all may have to say, preacher, we're going to have to retire. And I'd say amen. I'd say amen. If I fell into sin and I didn't resign, I'd say, fire me. I would. If I started teaching false doctrine, I'd say, fire me. But don't sit around and criticize me and everybody else in church. Just be honest and do what you're supposed to do. Amen?
Amen.
But until then, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do with all my might.
Amen.
That's what I'm going to do.
Thank you.
And that's not going to make everybody happy. It's not. I used to think everybody was supposed to like me and everybody loved me, and it took me a long time. My wife says, ignorance must be bliss. She said, if it is, you skip to work every day. I didn't know. I've never seen people against me. I trust people too much. But I tell you, I take this church as a very high calling for every one of us. We're probably the last of two or three fundamental Baptist churches in this county. And I take that very seriously.
Yeah.
I do. And if you're going to do anything to hurt it, I'll just go ahead and tell you, I wish you'd leave.
Amen.
I wish you'd leave. If you're going to gather a following, why don't you go to Church of God and gather a following over there? Or the Presbyterian Church and gather. Instead, you want to steal the sheep who are already being taken care of. I take it very seriously.
Yes.
I do. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know I am. But I want y'all to know, God's serious about this stuff.
Yes.
And I want to thank God for the faithful people he has sent to this place. And I want to thank God for the people that do their own job, mind their own business in this place. And I want to thank God for those that encourage others in this place. Amen.
Yeah. Come on, brother.
And some of y'all think you don't really have a position, but I got news for you. You have a position. You may not know what it is, but God put you here. You may be an ear or a little toe. I don't know what you are, but God knows what you are because he put you here. And by the way, it's a whole bunch of nobodies that keep putting a little bit in the offering plate to buy buildings and property and build a building one day. Everybody's important. And everybody can do something for God. And I wouldn't discourage not one of them from doing it. Not one of them. And if I ever find out you making fun of somebody or you talking bad about somebody, I will take your letter. And we're not going to vote on it. We won't call nothing but a fight. I'll take your letter in there in the office and I'll put an envelope and send it to you and say, have a good trip. Well, you don't have that authority. Our Constitution. Well, we'll fight over the Constitution later, but I'd rather see you gone and mad than see the whole church disturbed about it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I ain't never heard nobody preach like that. Well, I hadn't either. I hadn't either. But we're the family of God. Don't mess with it. You think I don't like it. What do you talk to God about?
Yes.
Amen. I don't know how to end it other than say this. If you would like to destroy a church, you're not saved.
Amen.
And if you'd like to get a following and you are saved, you're not right with God.
Amen.
And if you want to see what's real and what ain't, just hang around and stand the test.
Yep.
Just stand the test. And God will reveal what's real and what's not and who's true and what's not. Time tells. Somebody came to me one day and said, did you hear what so-and-so said about me on Facebook? I said, no, and I don't care. And I said, if you'll quit caring, it'll go away. And if you live long enough, you'll outlive all your critics. Amen? And let God fight your battle. If you're not saved, though, you need to get born again. The church is a very valuable thing to God. It's precious. As you can see through the history of this book, God calls out some people and he loves them, and he empowers them
right.
to do a work for him. And everybody in this room qualifies as saved.
Amen.
Now, if you're not saved, you don't qualify. You have no room to criticize.
Right.
You have no room to want a leadership if you've never been part of the body in the first place. So I'd warn you, watch what you're doing. And those who are saved, God chastens us.
Yes.
So I'd warn you, be careful what you do. Now, you know what I want? A little old boy come up here to get saved this morning. He really didn't understand what that means, so I gave him some scriptures, sent him back, and I said, let the Lord teach you. Keep coming, let the Lord draw you, and you'll understand more. But I'd like to see somebody get saved every Sunday. I would. That's my goal, to see people get saved. I don't care if you call me preacher, pastor, buddy, hey you. I don't care what you call me. Got nothing to do with that. I want to see people saved, and I want to see people grow in grace. And when that boy walked up that got saved last week that we've been praying for 10 or 12 years, and he said, preacher, with a smile on his face, preacher, I only got to John 14, and the only reason I got to John 14 this week is because I slowed down so I could understand what I was reading. I said, amen, keep doing that.
Amen.
He was happy. That's what I want to see. I don't need a special parking space. You don't either. Don't ever vote to buy me a new car. I got a car. And it's a Kia, and it's better than most of the Fords you would have bought me anyway. Let's do it. Let's do it together. Let's get busy about the Father's business. Avoid backbiting and gossip and slander and belittling of other people. And just, hey, if you get so busy, they won't mess with you. Amen? When we came out here, brother and sister Alton is back there. They'd been through, how many pastors? Six, five? One after another. Amen. Amen.
Before everybody leaves, I'd like to share with Blaine Stephan in this church and the feeling over the years. I don't want to take away from the church. They're been two beautiful services.
Yes,
I want to share with people that have 40 minutes to stick together.
Well, here's a good place to put that in, right here.
Well, I'm not going to stand up because I'm a little bit familiar.
Okay, go ahead.